Good morning. Let me just double check the microphone here. Is it on? Can you hear me? Beautiful. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's going to be short, my introduction right now. I'm not going to do a Tony. I can't follow in his footsteps, but as an introduction for those who don't know me, don't know who I am, might be visiting for the first time, second time, third time. My name is Joseph Murray, and I have the honor of presenting the lesson this morning. And I'm going to be honest, you're going to search your soul. It's a tough topic. As I've been preparing for the last week, Jim, when Jim approached me and asked if I would prepare a lesson, something had been impinging on my mind for quite a while. You might even hear it in my tone, in my voice, but it's going to be heavy. But I hope it challenges you and you get something to think about, food for thought. That's always been my approach, is to get people to think for themselves. It might not be easy, but it will spur you on, hopefully, to better things. So, with that being said, we continue in worship. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. I want to say first, before we get started, if you haven't had a chance to get the elements for communion, we have them in the back in the foyer in one pack and two pack, in case you brought a friend with you. Or spouse. Man, I missed you guys. Nobody missed me. Okay, good. All right, moving on. All right, it's good. Glad we're picking up right where we left off. Guys, if you're visiting with us, my name is Tony Peterson. I have the great, great privilege to be to serve here as the minister of the Frederick Church of Christ. And I've taken a short leave of absence, which is why I'm not preaching for one more week. I'll be back in a couple weeks from now. And I just want to say, today's actually 30 days exactly since I found out that my mother's cancer was everywhere in her body. And 2 short weeks after that, 14 days, she had the great privilege to go home to Jesus Christ. And I had the great honor to be by her side to see it happen. And since then, I've missed her funeral because I had the stomach flu, fever for 2 days. Joanna was wrestling with the stomach flu. Then, just as we were sort of getting our feet up under that, Riley has had a double ear infection and a virus on top of that. And Asher had double pink eye and a virus on top of that. And if you can hear it in my voice, I got really sick and I'm just now getting over that. And so the last 30 days have been incredible. They've been absolutely incredible. And I want to say this. If we allow the burdens of this world to be carried by ourselves, we got no shot. We really got no shot. I mean, I truly mean that. If I've learned one thing since I've been in Frederick almost 6 years in the recovery world, in the church world, serving at the Church of Christ and being with my church family and my amazing wife and my family, I've learned I can't do this alone. This meaning everything. I can't do anything on my own without the help of Jesus Christ and my church family and my family. If I attempt to carry all these burdens by myself, it will kill me. And I mean that in almost every sense of the word, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I got no shot. And here's the news flash. Neither do you. Neither do you. Neither do you. That's why I absolutely love the times where we can fellowship and share an edification, or we're sharing a meal. And there's maybe no greater time when we can understand and come at the foot of the cross with all the burdens of this world than at a time where we commune. And I'd like to share just a few thoughts as we go into that. Again, I want to say for any good friends that are popping in right now, if you need the communion elements, they're in the foyer. Mr. Hill, I ain't gonna call nobody out. If you need one, it's in the foyer. All right. So if you have a moment, let's turn to Luke chapter 24. You know, I got the opportunity last minute to share communion thoughts this morning. I just found out it was a news flash to me, and it's an honor and a privilege. I didn't get the chance to preach at Easter because I was still so sick. And so this might be the longest communion we ever do. In all fairness, Joe said he has a short message. Did he? Okay. Let's just. So this is one of my favorite Easter stories. This is one of my favorite stories, period, in the Bible, period. And it's the story of Cleopas and this other disciple. And it's amazing. This story is amazing. And this, I was thinking, man, okay, this is a great Easter message. You know, how is this going to tie in communion? Well, let's take this road together. Just like they're taking the road, we're going to take it together. Let me read this, starting in verse 13. This is Luke chapter 24. This just shows who Jesus is through and through. It's amazing. Now, it's going to start out by saying this. Now, that same day that they're talking about is Resurrection Sunday. Okay, our Lord has risen. He is no longer in the grave. He has defeated death and Satan himself, and he is risen. And now on that same day, two of his disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So these two disciples, they're all off on this beaten path, 7 miles from Jerusalem, headed to this place called Emmaus. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Okay, and understand, they don't know yet about the resurrection. Okay. And they were taught, or maybe their hope isn't confirmed in that. Okay. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, if you just picture this for a minute, you know somebody that likes to butt into conversations. Now imagine being 7 miles on this beaten path, you and your partner here having a conversation, and all of a sudden this guy just appears out of nowhere. He's going to insert himself in this conversation. You got to love Jesus, okay? And he asked them, not only does he butt in, but he just get right in there. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? I'd have been like, none of your business, partner. Where'd you come from? They stood still. Their faces were downcast. Why do we know that? Because we're going to find out that their hope is gone. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Jesus and his questions. If you're not here on Wednesday night for this series, Jesus questions Jesus asked, maybe we ought to include this one. And this is a wonderful question. He says, what things? Are you kidding me, Jesus? Come on now. What things? About Jesus of Nazareth. So this is beautiful. They're getting ready to tell Jesus about Jesus. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in the word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Right here in the conversation, I'm like, skirt, partner, stop. You're going to enter my conversation and then call me foolish all out of nowhere. All right. And he says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Don't miss that amazing tidbit right there. Imagine sitting in a Bible study on the Old Testament, on the Torah, taught by Jesus, and the theme, everything in this concerning myself. I want a copy of that commentary. I don't know how much it costs, but y'all want to come together and figure that out for me. Now, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearing evening and the day is almost over." So they become a little close throughout this talk and him explaining all these scriptures. So he went in to stay with them. And verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And it was then that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And here's what they say. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened all the scriptures to us?" What an amazing account of Jesus, our resurrected Savior, meeting two people on an obscure road and compassionately going out of his way. You know, I would think, you know, Jesus, as he is resurrected, you know, maybe if it was me and my human thought, I'm going to the Pharisees, I'm going to Rome, I'm going to Caesar, and I'm going, "Hey, look at me now, baby. Hey, look at this body. I could probably pull that off now. Yeah, this body's solid." But I'm trying to tell you, that would be me. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't appear to all these leaders and have to prove a point. That's not his motivation. His motivation has been what it's always been. He came to seek the lost. He came to restore hope. He came to give life. He came to join alongside, reveal himself to you, and carry that burden so you don't have to carry it yourself. And the beautiful thing about this passage in our communion is you've got to tell me that there's got to be some sort of connection when he breaks that bread and he passes it and he gives thanks for it. And it was in that moment that their eyes were recognized and they opened and they knew who the Savior was. So let's give thanks for the bread. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that he carries our burdens. He goes off the beaten path. He sacrifices himself physically and emotionally, mentally, completely emptying himself to pay a debt that we could never pay. Lord, we thank you for the body that was broken. We thank you that it restores our eternal life if we believe in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for his body that was broken. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we come to you and we thank you for the blood that was spilled. Blood of a new covenant. That through, from your grace, through faith, Lord, that we can have eternal life. Because not only was your Son beaten and bruised and crucified on a Roman cross, but he rose from the dead, offering eternal life for all of us, entering us into a new covenant through his blood. We thank you, Lord, for a gift that we could never repay. In Jesus' name, amen.
Want to thank Jack for that introduction. Is my mic still on? But right. I get set up here. Get my scripture. Once again, good morning. I'd like to thank God, first of all, for the opportunity just to be able to present his word to the elders, to Tony, and to the congregation, just for the opportunity just to be able to talk to the family here a little bit. It's a topic that has been foremost on my mind recently. And it started out as a conversation with a family member and culminated with a 3 minutes and 40 second clip that was sent to me of a video of a woman exposing the thoughts that quote unquote narcissists might not be worth our forgiveness. That was the title of the clip that was sent. Narcissists might not be worthy of our forgiveness. So the topic this morning is the topic of forgiveness. Let me just say quite clearly, from my perspective, forgiveness is a topic that is at the core of our faith. It is a powerful tool that can heal wounds, mend relationships, and set our souls free. Just ponder those words for a minute. And to take some of the pressure off my back, I'm going to sit and be a little bit more informal. It is an essential part of our Christian journey, an essential part of our Christian journey, as we are called to forgive. We are called to forgive as we have been forgiven by God. This topic is broached in the Bible as early as Genesis. Genesis 50, verses 16 and 17 reads, and let me see if I can pull it up, probably easier reading it off this thing here. So if you want to follow along with me, Genesis chapter 50, verses 16 and 17. So they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did you. For their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of God and your father, beg you to forgive our sins. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. So here it is, just a reminder of the story of Joseph. His brothers, instead of killing him, got convinced to sell him into slavery, and they sold him to a group of passing merchants who took him to Egypt and sold him into slavery in Egypt. And as we are noted here, as early as the words in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we see where forgiveness is being asked for. Let me just say this. First and foremost, forgiveness is a gift from God. As Christians, we believe that we are forgiven through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we believe as Christians. In Ephesians, let me go back up. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7. Find Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Get myself a little bit more used to this technology. It is written, He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. We are reminded that freedom is not free. We are reminded that this forgiveness is not something that we can earn or merit. We cannot earn freedom. It is not meritorious. It is given freely to us out of God's immense love for us. But some would ask, but what does it mean for us to forgive others? What does it mean for us to forgive others? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, Jesus himself tells us, quoting Jesus, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Just ponder that for a second. This is a powerful reminder that forgiveness is not just a mere gesture, but a commandment from our Lord. This is a powerful reminder that forgiveness is not just a nice gesture, but a commandment from our Lord. Repeating for emphasis. Forgiveness is not always easy. Here comes the tough part. Forgiveness is not always easy. It sometimes is difficult to accept by those who have been wronged. It is sometimes difficult to accept by those who have been wronged. But holding on to unforgiveness only hurts us in the long run. If we weigh us down, it consumes our thoughts and keeps us from experiencing the fullness of God's love and grace. Forgiveness is not about excusing the wrong that was done to us. I'll say it again. Forgiveness is not about excusing the wrong that was done to us. It does not mean we forgot what happened or pretend that it didn't hurt. Forgiveness is about releasing the grip of anger and resentment from our hearts and choosing to let go of the need for revenge or retribution. It is about extending the same grace and mercy to others that we have received from God. So the same mercy that we have received from God is what we're commanded to extend to others. You want to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 13. We are urged to bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. 13. This is a tall order, but it is possible with the help of the Holy Spirit working in us. When we forgive others, we mirror the love and forgiveness that God has shown us, and we open the door to healing and to reconciliation in our relationships. Reconciling our relationships, whether it be friend, family, church family, whoever it might be, your next door neighbor. That's the openness that we are tasked with. Forgiveness is not a one-time act. And I'll repeat that again. Forgiveness is not a one-time act. It is a process that requires ongoing effort and commitment. It may take time to fully forgive someone who has hurt us deeply. It may require us to choose to forgive again and again and again. Every time the pain resurfaces in our hearts, we might be challenged again. But as we continue to choose to forgive, we experience the freedom and peace that comes from letting go of the burden of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is also a gift we give to ourselves. Let me say that once again. Forgiveness is also a gift we give to ourselves. When we choose to forgive, we release ourselves from the chains of bitterness and resentment that holds us captive. We allow ourselves to heal and move forward with grace and love in our hearts. Forgiveness is not just about the other person. It is also about our own spiritual, emotional way of being. Let me just take a sip of this water here. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, Peter asked Jesus, Peter being Peter, I wouldn't imagine this would have come from anybody else. How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. This is a powerful reminder that forgiveness knows no limits. I'll say it again. This is a reminder, a very powerful reminder that forgiveness knows no limits. Just as God's forgiveness is endless, so too should our forgiveness be boundless. As we journey through life, we will inevitably encounter a situation where forgiveness is needed. It may be a small offense that can be easily overlooked. It may be a deep betrayal that shakes us to the core. But in every circumstances, we are called to respond with the radical love and grace of Christ, extending forgiveness to those who you have harmed, for those who have harmed us. And I'm going to set up a cue here for the video in a minute. That for me brought it home very succinctly. And for those who don't know the story, this happened, I believe it was in 2022, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember. Both on John, his name is J-E-N, but it's French, so it's pronounced John, I do believe, if I can get corrected. He was shot and killed in his apartment eating ice cream. He was a member of a Church of Christ congregation and was lead singer for the congregation. And the police officer who shot him apparently lived in the same building, but one floor down or something like that. And she came home from work saw the door open or whatever, went in and shot him dead while he was eating ice cream in his apartment. Now, that's not the story I'm going to present here. To me, his brother, Brant Jean, or Jean, in the court sentencing phase, which is captured on various YouTube videos, the essence, to me, what forgiveness is all about. Ron, can you run that?
To speak for myself, I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please.
Thank you, Ron. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I watch this video, I see the love of Christ in this gentleman. It is a hard thing to deal with, but nobody in my mind, certainly within the last 70 years, have demonstrated the level of what it is to forgive and to be a Christian in that sense than this Brant Jean. Forgiveness does not mean that we forget what happened. Or ignore the pain it caused. It does not mean we have to it does not mean we have to reconcile with those who have hurt us, nor trust them blindly again. Forgiveness means we choose to release the grip of anger, and bitterness on our hearts and trust justice to God, who sees and knows all things. In summary, forgiveness is a powerful tool that can transform our lives and the world around us. It is a testament to the love and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives us unconditionally and calls us to do the same for others. First John chapter 1, verse 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just, forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. As we leave here today, let us carry the message of forgiveness in our hearts and extend grace to all those we encounter. May the peace of Jesus Christ reign in our hearts now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we are so truly thankful that we live in a free country where we can share freely with anyone who will listen. Father, we are so truly thankful for Jesus and all he has done for us. Father, we have asked for open hearts and open minds that we can really honestly express how we feel and be able to share that with others we meet on a daily basis as we go through life. Be with us now for the rest of the day and the rest of the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And for those who grew up in the tradition of the Churches of Christ, there's always that invitation. If someone has felt touched, so to speak, you can always approach one of the elders or the ministers in the church to ask for prayers and whatever that is needed in the situation. Thank you. Jack.